Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to encourage you that if you're facing homelessness, if you're facing trials of any kind, I want to caution you and just encourage you not to be anxious.
Right.
Not to be anxious. Philippians tells us, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. We talked about military and Israel. Mm-hmm. Just say, listen, we don't need to be anxious. God's word tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, mm-hmm. present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Man, I don't know about you. That is a powerful, powerful verse of scripture.
That's right.
It has brought me great solace. Many, many, many times. But you think about it, God commands us in his words, you know, not to be anxious. These women hung themselves, bless their heart, because they felt that they had no other choice. Listen, it's not the end of the world. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. But we got to turn to God.
That's right.
We got to turn to God. You know what anxious means? Anxious means uneasy, apprehensive, uncertain about a matter, worried, tense. Mm-hmm. You're concerned about, like, you know, a misfortune is going to happen to you. So it's just like, oh, I'm just anxious. You're uneasy, mm-hmm. restless, agitated, jittery. Mm-hmm. The actual original word in like Latin means to choke or squeeze. And if you've been around an anxious person, it's just feel like they're choking. They're just like everything's squeezing in on them. Mm-hmm. If you've ever experienced anxiousness yourself.
All right.
And God's word clearly tells us, don't do it. Don't be uneasy. Mm-mm. Don't be jittery. Don't allow what you're facing to choke you out, choke your family out. Don't even go there.
Right.
About anything. Why would God tell us that about anything? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we're anxious, it's because we're trying to find a solution within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be financial. It could be something going on with the family, with the marriage. Mm-hmm. It could be something in your own life, personal struggles and challenges at the workplace. Mm-hmm. And you're anxious. And you talk to a lot of people today with so much uncertainty with what's going on. You just sense a great anxiousness in terms even of their employment. They don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you through God's word that God encourages us not to go there, not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, in every situation, in every circumstances, in every place that you find yourself in, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you go along through the day and anxiousness, you become so worried that you don't even realize that you're worried about something.
All right.
And so someone says, dear, Pat, are you okay? Chris, is everything okay, dear? I'm fine. I'm fine. What? Is there something wrong?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're awfully jittery today. You know, you can be so self-focused. You can have this whole thing going on in your head and in your brain. Mm-hmm. You're thinking so hard that we all see it. It's like we see their brain all functioning.
Right.
See
everything. It's all over your face.
We see those gears moving, literally. Mm-hmm. And your body becomes to take on what's actually happening within your mind. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can respond one or two ways. We can become anxious. And anxiousness is what? Wasting our time. Mm-hmm. Being all focused on fear and dread, mm-hmm. of a misfortune. Something's going to happen, as if that could actually change the situation.
Right.
And you got to be careful that you don't have a default setting to be anxious. Some people think that that's normal, that it's okay. I'm just anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. Right. You know, worried about my relationship. Worried about the economy. It's like, that's not a, you can't have a default setting to go straight into anxiousness, into worry. But in everything, we can actually go to the one who could actually fix a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you have a request, you have a need, you have a situation, you have a concern, you're going through a trial. You can present your request to God, to the one who actually holds your life in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one who can determine anything, the person who can grant you the relief or the favor. And if he allows it, it's because it's Father filtered.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there? Have you been there before? Have you ever been anxious about something? You realize, why am I so anxious?
Right. Exactly. What's the root of all that is fear. You think about it.
Absolutely.
Never been of it.
That's the foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the anxiousness is all about something's about to happen that mm-hmm. I don't want to happen.
Right. False evidence appearing real.
Mm. That's good. That's the acronym, yeah. False mm-hmm. evidence.
Right.
And you're fretful. Fretful. Sometimes you can be anxious about a conversation because you're thinking, oh, if I have this conversation, this is not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you projecting on that? Instead, you know, we could just take that concern because it could be a legitimate concern. It may not go well. But by focusing on dread and those possibilities that may or may not occur,
mm-hmm.
why not take that concern? You know, Jesus is our burden bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Just take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and easy.
That's right.
How many are suffering unnecessarily stress? I mean, and burden, and then you're spreading it all through your family, all through your workplace, all through your, and it's like, that's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's God says, hey, bring your burdens to me. I care for you. So prayer and petition, make your requests with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, one of the ways that to really lift up your spirits,
mm-hmm.
you know, so one of the ways to really get encouraged is to start thanking God and to remember all the good things that God has done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there's nothing that will build your faith. That, I mean, I write this stuff down. I know you and I have had this conversation, you know, and every time God answers mm-hmm. a prayer request, you know, I write it down.
Absolutely.
Because it builds my faith.
Right.
You want to look back and say, oh yeah, God answered that. And I remember when God answered that, start talking to the Lord in your prayer. Start remembering and thanking him mm-hmm. for all the good things that he has done, mm-hmm. for the times that he's healed you, for the times that he provided you when there was no way.
That's right.
The way that he answered and restored you when it was all said and done and it was all over, that one time God intervened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said, God, if you get me out of this one, and he did, and how he touched your family, and how he mm-hmm. gave you that job that you didn't have, and you were all by yourself, and you said, Lord, if you give me a family, if you give me, you know, if oh, we just had a child, and God gave you 6 children, and it's like all these different things that God mm-hmm. so, you gotta remember.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit back and rejoice and ponder. Listen, you can focus on your problem, or you can focus on God. But I tell you, both of them, you know, the one you choose is going to determine
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen with you.
That's right.
You can focus on fear, you can focus on faith. And so, it's you know, so we can't be anxious. And the thing about all of this is that he says, in everything, present your request to God. And get this, and the peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you actually talk to the one who can do something about your situation,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Okay. When you talk to the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you talk to the one, or the rider of the horse, whose name is faithful and true, who is just and fair and righteous, when you talk to Jesus, when you talk to the creator and the manager of the universe, who put the stars in place and told the waters to stay at a certain, when you talk to God,
mm-hmm.
come on now. He says, look, you're going to have peace and the peace of God. You know, I was talking to someone the other night, and I remember hearing that one of the names that, Jesus had was the Prince of Peace. And I, you know, before I knew God, I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, hope, joy, peace. Oh, that's a nice little saying that they give Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know.
Right.
Until, you know, I needed some peace. And I realized that he was the source of peace.
That's right.
Man, when there is anxiousness, you have no peace in your life.
Mm-mm.
There's no peace, constantly worried, things constantly on your mind. Anxiousness and worry and fear will sap and drain the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cause you to be bitter. It'll cause you to be edgy. It'll cause you to snap.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
When you have peace, it's all good.
That's right.
And he says, and the peace of God which transcends. That word means to rise above, to exceed. When the peace of God rises above your ability to understand, now you're talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something where it's like, dude, we have just experienced the big one in our home. And I was like, I just got hit with a mega bomb here.
That's right.
And for all intents and purposes, I should be totally distraught and just like knocked out, my wind knocked out of me. But for some reason...
Mm-hmm.
There's an overwhelming peace upon me, and it's beyond my ability to understand. I mean, because if you look at the facts say that I am in trouble. Mm-hmm. If you look at the facts and what other people tell me, this is the big one.
That's right.
You know, that I've been diagnosed. They told me that this was it. But you got to understand, I spoke to God. You got to understand that I took this request. I couldn't worry about the diagnosis. By worrying and focusing and fretting, that is not going to make me get better.
Mm-mm.
But I took my request. I did like David did, and I magnified God, and I didn't magnify the problem. I said, God, you're bigger than all this. And I started thanking him for what he did for me in all my life. And I looked back at the years and the chapters of my life and saw God's hand upon me and what he's done for my family. And faith started to rise up. And not only faith, but the peace of God started to descend on my mind.
Mm.
And for some reason, I've got peace.
That's good.
Isn't that good? I mean, we need peace. You got to operate in a place of peace from peace.
Nothing like it.
You ever been in an environment where maybe you're leading something and somebody's just so anxious and they come? That anxiousness, that fear is contagious.
Very contagious. Oh, yeah.
And you bring someone in like that and it starts jumping all on each person. And so the peace of God rises above our ability to understand. And get this. This is what the peace of God does. This is what the peace of God does. It guards your heart and your mind. Let me tell you something. You can have some thoughts that could be pounding so loud in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't even go to sleep.
Right.
You're talking about a restless night. You're talking about anxiousness and concern and gripping. Let me tell you something. The peace of God, what it does, it begins to guard your mind. It begins to protect your mind. It begins to build a fortress, a wall, if you will,
right,
of peace, of faith. I mean, listen, you can go through this. You can go through this. We got to encourage, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today.
That's right.
We're here to encourage you. We're here to enlighten you, to inspire you, to activate you.
That's right.
You know, but don't forget that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what will stop you and what will put a hold on you will be just that. Fear, worry, and anxiousness. And listen, you may hear troubling things in the news. You may hear things that happen, you know, to other people. But for us, our comfort, you should know God, you're seeking God here today,
mm-hmm,
is for you to spend that time abiding. I mean, Pat, Chris, can you remember a time? Can you remember a time where you needed to hear God? And you set out to abide in just that one word, that one scripture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many times. Many times.
Isn't that powerful?
Oh, it is. It just brings you such peace, knowing that God's aware of everything. Mm. You know, he's has all your burdens in his hand. He's just waiting for you to release them out of your hand and put them in his.
That's
and
right.
As soon as we do that, and then he gives us that faith to believe that he's in control. He's going to take care of that situation.
Right.
And then it's just gone. I just remember so many times when that happened.
Isn't that amazing?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's like, all right, I'm done. I get up, walk away. I mean, it's just done, you know, right. Knowing that God's going to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, like, what is it about God that you don't like? I'm thinking, dude, give your heart to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I can't carry that. Been there, died there, slap, worn out, tore up from the floor up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, what part of worry, anxious, I mean, if you don't know Jesus, how can you ever truly, think about this, if you haven't accepted the Lord in your heart, how can anyone truly have peace outside of God?
That's right.
How could you? Constantly worrying, constantly, and that's why man is just so caught up in his ability and what he can do, and they're putting so much stock in education and money and all of this, because you become your own fortress.
Mm-hmm.
You become your own insurance policy, if you will. You begin to self-insure against calamities, and you start taking pride in stock in yourself. But let me tell you something. Ain't none of us all that good.
Mm-mm.
And the best of us can all have a bad day.
That's right.
And so it's not about putting your faith and your trust in yourself. It's about turning to God.
That's right.
Turning to one who's faithful, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and truly cares about helping you and assisting you and bringing you out through this. Man, I'll tell you, God can put you through this.
Yes, he can.
You just got to be willing to stay in the pool, right?
That's right. And be ready to let go of it.
That's right. Let go and let God, right?
Amen.
Because a lot of times God wants to deliver us from something, but we refuse to let it go. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Take your request, take your concern, and give it straight to God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you react when the unexpected happens? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Mary Swears was in a tough spot. She and her husband had separated, and she was diagnosed with cancer. But then, in that moment of need, Travis came to her side.
Before we got separated, I was bitter, and I wasn't willing to work on it. And when he walked in the room, it's like nothing mattered. It was over with. He was changing, and my husband was there. Like,
you felt the connection.
Yeah. As soon as he walked in the room.
That's unique.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing that God put that feeling for him back in your heart.
Yeah.
Would you describe it that way? Do you think it was the Lord?
Oh, absolutely. Because I couldn't forgive him. God changed my heart. In an instant, he changed my heart.
Hear more about hope in the midst of trials from Mary and Travis today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
We have a great way for your VFN radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
One of the things we want to talk about here in the extra hour is, you know, our relationship with the Lord. You know, and do we want a relationship with the Lord that's rules, or do we, or relationship?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have both. You can't have both, which causes me to think about the Pharisees, Pat, Chris, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the core of the Pharisees' religious experience, right, it's all outward actions that were meant to look godly, but they were truly void of inner conviction of God.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you look at them, as we read in the scriptures, as we read in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John,
mm-hmm.
we're consistently seeing that the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders at the time, they had the flowing robes, the phylacteries.
Oh, yeah.
They had all this stuff that looked religious, but it was all outward actions meant to look holy, godly. But it was truly void of the inner conviction of God, because they were constantly dealing and lying and attacking God himself, Jesus. Everything they did in terms of serving God was all about this outward actions. I mean, anything that you could set an alarm clock to remind you to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
In fact, rules, the word says, taught by men. You know, all you need is a rule book and a timer, and you can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's rules. And you know, they were more concerned of what others thought with little regard to what God was thinking. And that's so important. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because rules focuses on people. It focuses on do's and don'ts. But it doesn't focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
If we're focusing on God, we're focusing on a relationship with the Lord. We're focusing on, Lord, what do you think? What do you have to say? And Jesus always had words for the Pharisees. The strongest rebukes were always against the Pharisees, because they were messing up the message here.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the example. Looking at the Pharisees, we can actually see that, listen, you can know everything about God and still not know God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they alone proved that point, because they studied and studied and studied and studied, and yet they had a veil to who God actually was in their midst.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
And so God doesn't want us to live out of outer actions. He doesn't want us to live he wants us to live out of inward righteous convictions that causes us to do or not to do out of a relationship with God. He didn't say, here's a rule book, here's a list of do's and don'ts,
all right,
and check back with me in a month.
Right.
You know, he didn't give us a rule book. He gave us a living book.
Right.
It's a love letter. But there's two approaches that we can take. We can take the approach of a Pharisee, which says, I'm going to study and I'm going to try to learn everything about God, and I'm going to try to come to God in my brain and follow a set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can take the approach that says, I want to fall in love with God, receive his love, and out of love, be led to do's and be led to don'ts. I mean, if you think about rules they're all around us. They're all around us. Take speeding limits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't resent the speeding limits because we realize that this is a good thing. If we want to live, if we want to protect our children, we don't want people driving 100 miles an hour all over the place, much less a teenager who just got their driver's license, right?
Exactly.
But we say that this is a good thing because it sets parameters that help us to, what, stay alive. Right. You know what I'm saying? God gives us in his words commandments that will help us to stay alive in him. I mean, he is the one that, you know, you always have to look to the manual to find out what the inventor of whatever product made. What, you know, what does the manual say? How to operate it? How to use it? Mm-hmm. How not to destroy it? How to disassemble it? How to maximize the use and the lifespan of the appliance or thing that you purchased?
Right.
But how many are not even looking at the manual, the living book, the Bible, right. God's love letter to us on how we should relate to him, how we should relate to others, how we can have true eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's word.
That's right.
But the Pharisees, they were concerned. In Mark 7, they were concerned. This is what they were concerned was about. This is what gets me.
Right.
They were concerned with why the disciples that were with Jesus didn't ceremonially wash their hands before they ate. This is what they were concerned about. They said, we always wash our hands before we eat. And the question is just like, as ridiculous as that sounds to us today, have we got caught up in religious performances, going through the motions of ceremonially, quote unquote, washing of hands, yet we are void of the inner conviction with God? Let me tell you something. You, just because you start out right with God, there's a way that because you don't have a relationship, that maybe there is no abiding, you're not spending time with the Lord daily because you know what the right thing to do. You know what's the right thing to do? You do it, but it's not out of relationship. It becomes rules. Do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to live this do life.
That's right.
You want to live a relationship life with the Lord. In verse 8, Jesus says, he told them, you have let go of the commands of God. You've let them go. You let go of God's word and are holding on to the traditions of men. And that's where you see the separation. If you're seeing where only 19% of the church is actually abiding and spending time with the Lord, is our religious experience, is our encounter, our Christianity with the Lord more of a traditions with men? Do we know more of the traditions of what we've learned than what we know of the word?
Right.
I've heard people misquote things in the Bible and say that this is no, is it actually the Bible does not say that. The Bible, no, I never heard that before.
Right.
Because it's not in there.
Right.
But they've got so accustomed with religion, religiosity, that they don't have the truth. And isn't God's warning us? God's calling us to a place where, listen, rules are not going to cut it. Because God's never designed us to live out of rules alone. He's designed us to walk with him based out of a relationship that's just nurtured in love. He says, if you love me, my commandments are not burdensome for you. If you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so our walk with God is not about a list of do's and don'ts, but relationship. And our inner relationship with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
From that inner relationship, we may be led to do or not to do certain things, but whatever we do,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is that we do or don't do, it's rooted and established from love and a relationship. It's not an obligation. That's the whole point that we're trying to underscore because it's so important. There's some things that we can do to safeguard and say, wow, has this, you know, Matthew West has a song that says, I don't want to go through the motions.
All right.
I don't want to live one more day without your all-consuming passion living inside of me.
Mm.
This is Matthew West's song.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Powerful song. But what happens when we are tempted to make a transfer from relationships, because we started out right,
mm-hmm.
but now we got caught up in ceremonially washing of hands, doing the right thing because we know what's right,
right.
yet we have no inner love or relationship. Our love has grown cold.
Right.
Revelation says, hey, turn back to your first love. Turn back to your first love. So there's some safeguards. What can we do? Well, we need to be aware of our prayer life with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little prayer life is a good indication that something's missing. No abiding, that's a great indication that something's missing. And you hear us talking about abiding, and maybe you may be new to VFN Radio today or the last week, as many are coming on to VFN Radio daily. We're often talking about having an abiding relationship, a relationship where you are reading God's word daily, you're hearing his voice, and you're journaling. Mm-hmm. A little bit of what God is telling you for that day. If you don't have a simple plan and you've been hearing about us and hearing us talk about this and you're desiring that the Lord's moving on your heart, listen, we have a plan for you. You can go to iabide.org and request this plan. It's free of charge, and we'll send it out there to you. It's our gift to you. But we want to help you have this abiding relationship with the Lord. And one of the things that we can do as we're praying and evaluating, have I been even talking to God? Is he on my mind in the morning when I wake up? Is he on my mind throughout the day? Is he the last thing that I think about before I go to bed? Mm-hmm. Is one of the things we can start praying is, Lord, help me never to do something outwardly that I'm not living inwardly. Mm. I mean, that's a powerful thing to pray. Lord, help me never to do something outwardly that I'm not living inwardly. I mean, people see behaviors, right? We learn as a kid, you do the right stuff, people look at, okay, I'll get mm-hmm. the star, you know, right. Act right, can I get the star? You know, children love the stars.
They'll do anything for that little...
My daughter loves the stickers. Yes, sweetheart, I will give you a sticker, yes. But God sees straight into our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts. He's not caught up with the outward. And he said, Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He's looking at their hearts, right? He's looking at our hearts. And so a prayer that we can begin to start praying, right, mm-hmm. Here's a suggestion. Lord, help me from acting holy while not being holy in my thoughts. That's a good start, right? Lord, help me from doing a ceremonial washing that outwardly shows that maybe I am trying to do a holy thing or look religious, right? Got the mm-hmm. holy tilt of the head, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. All these outward prayers, yet inwardly, all the while I don't have holy thoughts. Here's another prayer. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, from guarding the words from my mouth. Help me from guarding the words I speak from my mouth while I'm saying those same words in my heart. Help me not to saying these words out loud so that people can hear them, but I'm still saying them in my heart. No. Remember, we want never to do something outwardly that we're not doing inwardly.
Right.
Right? Here's another prayer. Lord, help me, Lord, from guarding, help me from not watching things with my eyes before men while I'm watching them in the imagination of my mind. Outward, right? No, God, help us to live that heart conviction towards you. Here's another one. Help me, Lord, from not lying to others with spoken words while I'm living a lie in my heart. Mm. And we're talking about the difference between having a rules-centered relationship, approach to God, not a relationship, but a rules-centered approach to God, which is really not a relationship at all. What the Pharisees were trying to do is know their way to God. Through information and knowing about him, or you can experience God through revelation and through relationship based out of love. It's the only way that God wants us to approach him. It's just out of love. But we're talking about that just the other day, about our gratitude to God, a thank you to God, well, how we can give the rest of our lives to him.
Right.
We're talking about unless a seed died, it's still just a seed, but we're willing to sow our lives for him out of gratitude and appreciation for what he's done. But these are prayers that we can actually begin to search ourselves mm-hmm. and say, God, help me, because I don't want to go like David West says. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to live just one more day without your all-consuming passion living inside of me. We were made to love and be loved by God. Right? And God is never fooled. It's one thing we have to know, right? God is never fooled with outside acts or performances, but he looks straight into our heart. Mm. We're just fooling ourselves. or just fooling ourselves. Maybe you've been on a treadmill today. Maybe you've realized that, I don't know how this happened, but maybe I slipped into rules. I know what's right to do, and so I've been living the last month, 3 months, 6 months, year. I don't know. Out of rules, doing what I know to do, but my heart, my relationship, I haven't spoken to Jesus. Little things have crept into my heart, into my life, and I'm more focused on my outward, external walk that shows maybe others and that maybe I know God, but inwardly, what God is looking at, my true heart, is the direct opposite. I want to tell you that, listen, this is what it means to love God. It's what it means to serve God with all your heart. You can today, mm-hmm. make that choice and say, Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart,
right.
with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. But I want to serve you from a relationship base, not a rules base. Listen, it's not about do's and don'ts. Before I came to God, Pat, I thought my perception mm-hmm. was that God was up there with a paint stick and
big, yeah.
Yeah, every time I did something wrong, he just was, you know, there was a whack. Because I didn't know him. Right. I didn't know him. But no, God indeed loves us, and he plans for us to be with him and have our relationship with him out of love, and not to set aside his word for the traditions of men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been talking about rethinking church, and it's okay to start rethinking some things, to rethinking what it means, church. And we talked yesterday, is the church how we presently doing church, is it preventing Jesus from having the church that he wants?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the question is what you're doing today, is it preventing you from having a true relationship with the Lord?
Right.
You know, and guess what? You can have it today. You can walk with God. You can talk with God, and you can make that choice to say, Lord, I want to get this out of my life. I want to get any sin that maybe is corrupt. I want to repent of all of this. And I'll say, Lord, I want to have a heart relationship from you.
That's right.
That what I do from you is just strictly from my walk and my love, and not from obligation or rules. I want to know you on the inside.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up. Or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I think about it. I was talking about Jesus begins to explain what reality is. He's trying to give us some comparisons, and he talks about it in Matthew 22. He says, listen, he says the kingdom of God is like this. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about if we're in God's kingdom, this is what it's like. He says, there was a king, hint, Jesus. There was a king. Jesus is saying this now. This is not your local whoever, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is God's son saying, there was a king. And the king was preparing for a wedding banquet. And this is all about a bride. This is all about us being married to Jesus and the Father presenting us to his son as a bride. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a big banquet. And it's appointed once for everybody to be there. But we're going to find out we're all not going to stay there. Because he talks about this is going to be a wedding banquet. And so this king prepares a wedding banquet. And he gets it all together. And he goes out and he begins to invite the people who was intended to be there. Hey, the wedding banquet's ready. Got everything going. You know, this is me right now telling you possibly, hey, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. You can come to this banquet. You can turn your life over to him right now. You can get saved. Give your life to God and begin to live for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says this. This is Jesus. So don't be all shocked and stuff. I mean, this is Jesus telling us what it's going to be like with some people.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to go.
Mm.
I am not going to go to your church gathering. Mm-hmm. I am not going to go sit down in a coffee shop and talk about Jesus. I don't want anything to do with it. They refused.
Mm-hmm.
Was God's intention for them to be there? Yes. Did he prepare all that for them? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that you're going to make it there? No, you can refuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus said they refused.
Mm-hmm.
So then he comes back and he says, let's go send them out again. Ask them again. Obviously, I'm going to give them what's on the menu. If I tell them all the good stuff that's on the menu, you know, that we killed the fatted calf and, you know, we have gold streets and forgiveness of sins and relationship with the Father. And so tell them what's on the menu. If you tell them what's on the menu, you know, they just didn't hear clear enough. This is Jesus we're talking right now. And so they say, they go out and they start telling them what he said to tell them. And you're thinking, oh, this is it. They're going to come now. Obviously, they're going to, this is it, man. They're talking about the fatted calf. They're talking about gold streets. They're talking about all this wonderful stuff. So they're definitely going to be at the party, right? Well, the first time they refuse to even go. I mean, how many Americans have refused to go?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, we don't mind being religious, but if you're going to require me to go and do something. And this time, listen to this. This time, John, man, think about this. This time, they just didn't refuse, but they didn't even pay attention. They didn't even respond.
Mm.
No, that's just Greg talking about Jesus again, you know, didn't even respond. Didn't respond at all. That's major, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's so major. The fact that they didn't even respond, they didn't even pay any attention to the messengers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And so one said this. He said, you know, I've been working at this company 10 years now.
Right.
I've been working 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, Jesus wants me to have a career. A career. A career. Right? And he understands that my 401J, 401K is there. And I mean, I've got to be able to afford my retirement where I can continue to do nothing for God and get paid for it. And he understands that and says they went back to their businesses. Not only did they not even pay attention to the people that are talking to them about this banquet. This is Jesus talking. This is the kingdom of God. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And so they just refused.
Right.
And then this other crew, they said, you know, I'm not going to give up my house and my property and all that. I'm not going to give up my field. Do you know how long it took me to how many mortgage payments I've paid on this piece of property? And we got the wallpaper just right or whatever color just right on, you know, I mean, everything, every piece of thing is just, oh, but I mean, Jesus gave me this field. I would not leave it. Right?
Right.
That's right.
I'm sure he's cool with that. He's not. He doesn't mind that I just turned my nose up and walked away from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so then this is how the king responds. And so Jesus has given us a hint that this dispensation of grace will not last forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is like, okay, cool. All right. It's not going to last forever. It gives us time to repent. And he says this very specifically. The king was, and not only that, listen to this. Not only did they refuse to listen to him, refuse to change their job or give up their job for God or leave their property, but then they actually mistreated them, ridiculed them, blogged on them, gossiped. And because you understand when somebody's doing something wrong, the way they deflect from that is to make other people look wrong. I have a good case study for this, but we're not going to talk about it. Understand that. And so then they even killed him. They killed him. Listen, he won't shut up. Go put Jeremiah in fetters. Just shut him up because he's telling us we need to leave our stuff. And this is what Jesus says. He says the king was enraged. He was enraged. Think about it. What is he saying? There's going to be a day that this loving Jesus, this loving king,
that's right,
he's going to be enraged, and he's going to be trampling down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored, that his garments will be covered with the blood of those who walked away and chose everything other than him. But you have to understand, we're choosing to be under the hoof of his horse. We're not. He's not telling us. He's saying, no, that's not what I want. No, I don't want that. But we're saying, I choose to be trampled. I choose it. He says, the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Do we really think in America, if we keep walking away from God, do we really think that we serve a different Jesus? That he's not upset? I mean, he loves us. But you've never been angry until you loved, because there's nobody that can make you angrier than people that you love.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's a dangerous anger, right?
Right.
Somebody gonna get hurt.
and so understanding that all of a sudden, do you think we're not gonna suffer consequences as a nation if we keep on turning our backs away from God and saying, you know, we're just too busy? Don't you? I understand we're robbing you, God. I know we're just 97% of us are just not even giving to you what's yours.
How long is that going to last?
Yeah, and only 17-19% of us, you know, are even thinking about reading, you know, what you have to say. And most of that is like yada yada, everybody, because only 3% are reading in the context of wanting to apply it to their life. With 3% are saying, yes, I'll come to the banquet. This is important because there's a gospel being preached that says, hey, as long as you show up, everything's cool. You know, as long as you just show up, you know, that being invited means you're in. And then he said to his servants, he says, listen, I want you to go out there and I want you to find anybody and everybody. I mean, go in the streets and just tell them all, the good and the bad. Just get them all in here. Mm-hmm. Get them all in here, right? And what happens with that is that a lot of people have been convinced that because God loves them, because God invited them, then there's nothing required on their behalf.
Mm.
Nothing at all. And so they say, you know what? And then they justify where they are because of the grid. They do put a grid down and say, well, listen, he didn't even listen to Jesus. And he didn't even come. And she didn't do this. And I am here every single twice a month. Mm-hmm. Every single twice a month, I'm here.
Bi-weekly here.
That's right. I even teach that, whatever whatever that class was called, they told me to teach. And so there's this feeling that, and people are giving people the impression, because you showed up, you're right.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, Jesus said, the king begins to walk through the banquet, and he starts looking at this one particular person. He says, how did you get in here?
Right.
And of course, the explanation would be, I was walking around, and they told me, whosoever will, come. Whosoever will, come. Come in here.
Just show up.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, and it's like they would have this conversation. But the king says, you're not even dressed. You're not even dressed the way you should be dressed.
Right.
You're not even wearing the wedding garments. Well, you don't even belong here. You don't even belong here that you, how did you get in here? And then this is what the guy says. The guy says this. He says, mm-hmm. he looks at the king.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at the king and he says, nothing. He's speechless.
Mm.
He's speechless. Think about it. He's speechless. Right. Think about it.
Right.
You can't say nothing. Why is he speechless? Because he wasn't dressed. You know what? Nobody told you had to be dressed. And let me tell you what the dress is. The dress is what he tells us in Revelations 19, 6 and 8. He says that they are clothed with the righteous deeds of the saints. You have to do something. You're known by your fruit. You're known by your deeds, what you do. You're going to be naked if all you did was show up. You have to make him the Lord of your life. You have to be his disciple. You have to be fruitful, and you can only do that by abiding with him. Listen, he was naked and speechless because he didn't know God. He said, many people are going to come to me that day, Matthew 7. He says, Lord, Lord, did we not? Your fruit is not your gift.
Mm.
He says, your dress, he says it very specifically in Revelations 19, 6 through 8, at the wedding banquet, He says, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And it says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.
Mm.
Listen, don't listen to people who are telling you don't have to walk this out, that you don't have to be fruitful, that you're not known by your deeds. Over and over again, look at Revelation over and over again as he's writing to the church over and over. You think about it. Revelations 2 to the church of Ephesus, I know your deeds. Revelations 2:19 to the church of Thyatira, I know your deeds. Revelations 3:1 to the church of Sardis, I know your deeds. Revelations 3:8 to the church of Philadelphia, I know your deeds. Think about it. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Think mm-hmm. about it. That faith and works go together. Faith and deeds go together.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, America, we've got to stand up and do what's right. And we can only do that through Jesus Christ. We cannot. It's not going to end well for us. Why? Let me tell you why. As we're close, let me tell you why. Because this is what happens. This is what happens. Jesus then says this. Take rope, tie his feet, tie his hands, and throw him into the fire where there's weeping, darkness, and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
For many have been invited, but few are chosen.
Mm.
It's so important to listen. You can't just sit there again and again and do nothing and expect and watch people be the church while you yourself, literally just, you're a voyeur just watching righteous deeds of the saints, while you yourself are naked at the wedding banquet and not realizing that he's going to begin to walk through the crowd and he's going to say, how did you get in here?
Mm.
If you say you were invited, you're absolutely right. But if you say that you became a disciple of Jesus, you'd be absolutely wrong, because we're known by our fruit and our deeds. You show me faith without works and I'll show you
That's right.
Faith by works. Listen, he calls it useless. He says it's useless faith. And let me tell you something, America. Our religion is useless outside of us getting involved in doing what our Lord and Savior Jesus commanded us to do. Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
And
I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends it. This is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation. Yeah.
The other one
worked
for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. I think it's our Southern draw. That we got to really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus
he
on
it. He does really good.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if you'll notice that, when I said wrestling,
thank
and then
you.
Wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. Mill. He's like, oh, I didn't
are
know
you
about
calling
that
me
one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this, cheat. Nope. Don't do.
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
So how do you sophisticated? Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.